Is another episode of Behind the Broker. Well, I thought today would be really interesting actually to get someone on from a network to discuss all things networks. So the benefits of them, why you're using them, what they actually offer, to give people a better understanding. So today we have Matt Brown from Primus Network. So thanks very much for coming on, Matt.
No worries. Hi, Marcus.
Hi, yeah. So just talk me through, well, let's talk about you first. Talk me through your journey of how you've come to where you are now and what you do for Primus.
Yeah, sure. So I'm one of those typical people who didn't plan to end up in financial services.
No, everyone wanted to do this from birth. Everyone
yeah, could. It definitely wasn't my job as a child. However, 2004, started in a big corporate bank and worked my way up in the branch network. So, you know, hello, Mr. Customer, how would you like your cash was where I started my journey. Sort of went down the managerial route in branch. So ran a couple of, you know, branches in my local vicinity, then took an area role and then got really interested in mortgages. So did my CMAP, I think it was about 2011. Did CMAP, carried on working for said bank. So I spent about 14 years there, predominantly in mortgages for the latter half of that career. Sort of got a piece of paper put in front of me with an option to take redundancy. And when my wife saw it, she ticked it and signed it on my behalf, I think, and went, off you go and get something
little
else.
Package, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So then I sort of ended up in the network space. I had a little stopgap in between where I did 3 years as a national account manager for eConveyancer. And then I've been in the network space since. So Primus, I've worked for it when it was Personal Touch before it was brought by LSL and made into the Primus machine that it is today. And my role here at Primus, so I'm head of proposition. So fundamentally, looking after our lender and provider relationships, making sure we've got a top quality panel, making sure the end customer has the right choices. And when they're sitting down in front of a broker, the broker's got lots of options of what they can, you know, do a proper job with and recommend the right stuff.
Good, that makes sense. Do you know what, before we spoke, I hadn't even considered networks for behind the broker thing, because I just, silly on my part, I think, just assume that everyone kind of knows what the network does, what it's about. But actually, if I'm Dave, mortgage broker who works for someone, I'm looking to go out on my own, I probably only know of them moaning about it or not moaning about it, or very loosely making sure that I know that's where my compliance goes. So it would be really interesting actually for those guys who are not the owners yet or looking to go out, as to talk through kind of what you do for the brokers, and more than just listening to their boss moaning about compliance and stuff. So talk to us about, and I will actually say this, I know we talked about this off air, but I am not affiliated to any network at all. The reason why I do like you guys, because from my brokers, people don't moan about you, and I think that's quite an accolade in networks, is that I don't hear about you enough. That's a good thing for on the recruitment side of things. Let's talk back to you.
Yeah, definitely. So look, I think, you know, we have a job to do in terms of, you know, you've touched on compliance, but that's one little part of our network. And whilst we're on the subject of compliance, we don't want to be a business prevention unit. The reason that people are appointed representatives of networks is because ultimately the buck stops with us. So yeah, we're accountable to the FCA. So the reason we have compliance departments who sit there to support with file checks and all that kind of jazz is ultimately to make sure the end customer is getting the right advice, but the broker is able to do a sufficient job of you know, giving a top quality recommendation. But it's not just about
compliance. You know, you mentioned that the business prevention thing, which is an age old adage in mortgage broking, you know, that networks do it. Where do you think that comes from? Because I know you guys are commercially minded, like you want everyone to make money. So where do you think that comes from brokers? Is it just like an old wives' tale, or do you think it had some kind of?
I think sometimes, you know, a broker wants to make money. You're absolutely right. And, you know, when somebody comes in and checks your file and perhaps gives you some feedback and you've got to go away and do a repair on it, it doesn't feel great, does it? Nobody loves doing that. But I think, you know, I don't think it's an old wives' tale in that in our industry, some people do feel like that. And, you know, I can't speak for other networks and in terms of what they do, but we have all got a job to do. And the reality is, if you're a DA, you know, and you you're accountable to the FCA. You can choose which files you want to get checked. If you're an AR, we've got to do it properly and we've got to randomly select files. So I think, you know, I hope people don't feel like that anymore. You know, with Consumer Duty coming down the line, you know, we've had fair value framework in the protection world. There's lots of things the FCA are putting into place. And as a network, we're just trying to protect our brokers and protect their clients.
Do you think people get it a bit more now? Like that's it's there for a function. Because if you cock up that function, you're out of work. Like, and this is what everyone does for a living. So this is how you feed your kids. So I wouldn't, you know, compliance is important. But it's just funny that brokers always kind of, oh God, the network's like, you know, trying to stop you from doing
business. No, 100%. And you know what? I think that on the flip side of that, if you're a DA, you're paying somebody to go and check your files anyway, so you know that you need to have it good. You know, it's part and parcel, isn't it? You know, and compliance is just one bit. So, you know, I was sort of thinking before we joined today about all the different departments we've got in Primis, and you know, this is behind the broker. So I just want to share some of the facets that sit behind us. So obviously I'm propositions, and we've got a team behind us who look after those relationships, make sure if people need to escalate something, we've got all those contacts lined up and in place, and obviously evolving the panel, making sure if something new comes out to market, we jump on it, we go and look at it, we try and add it to the panel. So we've got that side of the business. You know, we've got broker services and fees team. So people sitting there in the background, making sure the broker gets paid. Because ultimately, if a broker's placed the case with a lender or a protection provider, as soon as that completes, they want the money in the bank. You know, they've done their job. So, you know, we're very speedy in terms of that. We've got a huge team in our broker services department. We've also got a big training team, so making sure we've got on-point training, and an events team. So Primis are really well known in the industry for our events, and you've probably seen that on LinkedIn where we light things up green and we've got the lion and all this kind of stuff. So, you know, events and CPD, we've got to do CPD right in this industry. We've got to do it. Let's make it enjoyable. Let's not make it a tick box exercise where you sit and listen to somebody drone on for half an hour. Come to one of our Primis events, get the buzz about it, do your networking, talk to people, but get that quality CPD, get some coaching, get some support. And then we, you know, we're really encouraging of make sure if a lender or a provider has got a BDM who wants to come and see that broker in the branch, we'll help you facilitate that, set it up. We also have a sales team of regional sales directors. So again, their job is help the brokers grow their business. You know, you don't set up a mortgage brokerage for the love of it. You might do, but part of it is you want to make money. So money makes the world go round. You want to make money. RSDs will go out and help with business plans, you know, give that business development and try and help people grow pots of revenue in different income streams.
That is interesting, you know, Matt, because obviously I spend a lot of my time speaking to one-man bands, helping them out, trying to add value, because they don't know the next move. They know they want to grow, they want to go out on their own, and they're kind of asking, well, I'm happy to do it. But if they go to the networks, I suppose maybe they don't know that. You know, you're coming to some moron recruitment guy, but if it actually goes to the networks, they have business plans, business strategy, that kind of thing is part of what you get paid for.
Yeah, definitely. So, you know, we've got those bits of the business. Obviously, we've talked about compliance. We have a policy team. So, you know, if the FCA come in and say, right, Consumer Duty's landing, we've got a team who can write a policy behind that. We have project teams when something new comes into the business. So all these people are sitting exactly what today is called, behind the broker, making sure we're doing all the painful stuff to be able to let them go and do their jobs. And I think, you know, most networks will have departments that do similar things to what we do. But I just think, for, you know, if you've got a choice to make, if you're a broker, are you going to go DA? Are you going to go AR? And there are benefits to both.
Not much of a choice about going DA at the moment if you're making a decision now, and if you're happy to wait 12 months, it's a hell of a wait.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And so in regards to, I tell you what I did want to touch on, because it does come up, and it doesn't come up with you guys, but it is something interesting because the world is changing so much and our marketing is so reactive. Talk to me about social media and kind of the stance you take on it. I know the old stance that some of the more sign of dinosaur body networks take on it. And that's, I'm not naming names, it doesn't matter, I just know what I want. But they, you know, having a 48, 72 hour sign off on social media is mental. I post every day because it's reactive. So talk to me about that kind of proposition with Primus.
Right. So we're in a digital world, aren't we? Yeah. Social media is big, whether it's in personal life, in business life. So look, we have a financial promotions team who, if you're doing a financial promotion, you need to make sure it ticks all the right boxes. But when it comes to social media, we thought a bit radically about this a few years back. So we have a social media policy and we have a social media accreditation that people just need to quickly do. Right. Once they've confirmed that they're meeting all the standards with the social media accreditation, they can go and post what they want. Now, you know, when I say what they want, you can't miss sell something and, you advertise that I can get
you a rate on the market. Come to me.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, you know, they will tick the box to confirm that they're adhering to all the right things. But fundamentally, we don't want to stop our brokers from showing their personality. And I think we are loud on LinkedIn, as an example. Sure. You know, the hashtag proud to be Primus is all over stuff. And I think we've got a lot of brokers who do an excellent job of helping our brand come to life a little bit for us.
It's funny, actually, isn't it? That they kind of, I think you maybe are one of the only ones that obviously people pay to be part of you, but you, they really promote you. And I think it builds Primus as a really nice brand because people put, like you said, they're proud to be Primus. Is better than moaning about. There was a network then that rhymes with that, so I wasn't gonna. But you know what I mean. So yeah, that is really interesting, actually. That your guys buy into you, don't they? It's not just like a network, I suppose.
Yeah, definitely. And I just think, you know, I'm a poster on social media. That's why I'm talking to you today, because we've come across each other. You know, I like to post stuff about our brand and about what we're doing, and I think. Realistically, if I was running my own business right now, that'd be a really good income stream. You know, most of my friends have a social media network. Most of my, you know, contacts in our industry are on one or another somewhere. So I just think you'd be mad as a business owner to not want to do that. And secondly, as a network, we're not going to want to stop people from selling, because fundamentally that makes that money. Obviously, yeah. That makes us money.
Yeah, that makes sense. So why do you think someone wants to sit? Well, do you think it's just it wasn't broke, don't fix it type, never, we've always done it this way? What do you think the reason is that actually you're up, especially not up against, because it's kind of a plus for you, but that you do get these like 72 hour turnaround social media posts, and so how, you know, how's it still a thing?
I'll be honest, I just don't know. I really don't know. Why people wouldn't want to change their policies around that. So, you know, if people are putting time frames on signing off, that feels like madness to me. You know, again, you know, I have to protect the network and go, if it's a financial promotion It is something where they are physically talking about, I can get you this for that price or that for that price, they would have to go through a sign off process. But fundamentally, for a social media post that advertises your business, we're on board, and as long as they've done the accreditation.
Most brokers are fairly au fait with the fact that you can't lie about your promotions. Do you know what I mean? I think everyone took the steam up and understands that one part of it. You would think they wouldn't need that much hand holding.
Yeah, definitely.
In regards to the hand holding, what else do you do for the brokers? I mean, what do they kind of get from it? What is the benefit over, apart from the
I think the other thing I haven't mentioned yet is our experts team, which is exactly what it says on the tin. So, right, a broker can be a lonely job if you're a one-man band, you know. It can be, you know, you're working from home, you haven't got, you know, that buzz around you all the time, and you haven't got people to bounce questions off. You know, I remember when I worked in the branch network, there'd be loads of stuff that I didn't know, and I'd go and ask the person on the desk over here or the person around the desk over there. What we do with our experts team is they are dealing with about 3,000 queries a month right now. So that's a broker can go, I don't know where to place this case. I've got this property and it's built on this. You know, I just don't know what lender would lend, or I've got a protection policy and, you know, this client's got a pre-existing condition that I've never heard of. I don't know who's going to cover it. So what we do here is the experts desk have an email address that they can email into. They deal with it within 4 hours. They wrap it. There's a team of four girls based in Solihull. They're absolutely brilliant.
3,000 between four of them.
3,000 between, and a couple of them are part-time as well.
Get them out on the get them selling.
Exactly. But, you know, that's part and parcel, again, of what people get with their package by signing up to us. So, you know, if you're a DA, you haven't got that, you know, with us, I'm stuck on a case.
Sorry, I jump in. But do you think that's even more important now, given how a lot of us work in regards to kind of a lot less contact with people? Do you think part of a network is also that social element, or that, you know, being able to pick up the phone to someone? Do you think that's made a difference since COVID?
I really do. And I like to pride us on, we're all dead approachable and we all love talking to our brokers, because at the end of the day, they pay our salary. So, you know, I love nothing more than having a chat with a broker about what's going on in the market right now, how I can help them with the proposition, you know. And I think I like to see them as colleagues, and I hope they see us in the same way. You know, Matt, can you help me with this? Matt, I've got this case. Can you speak to this lender? And that's what we're here for. So, yeah, I really do, because it can be isolating, can't it? And I think I see that, you know, with industry events and our network events. We've got a brilliant industry, and people from different sides of the country who've got nothing in common normally come together at an event, have a great time together, learn loads from each other, you know, in terms of I do this in my business, I do that in my, it's so important. And this is why I bang on and on and on about get yourself to some events, because one, it's great from a social aspect, but two, you can absolutely network with people and learn stuff to go and take into your own business and get, you know, even more success out of the bottom of.
It's energizing as well, isn't it? Even just being around other people that do the same thing as you, or people in your industry. It's just it's a big bump up in energy, and I think that does get, like, you know, I kind of touched on then, I think that does get lost with the working from home. I don't think you appreciate the energy you pick up from other people, so it's an interesting one. So in regards to kind of new guy looking at, what are the things they have to think about when they're picking networks, when they're obviously, you know, we're not just touting your business, just as networks as a whole, what are these guys having to think about? If you're coming out, you're one man band, you don't know where to start, talk to them about from day one, sort of, what kind of
You know, you mentioned hand holding earlier, didn't you? And I think that's a really good analogy to use around joining a network. We will hold a broker's hand, and I'm pretty sure every other network will tell you they'll do the same. You know, if somebody wants to join us from day one, the onboarding journey is really important. So if that's a new person who's never been an appointed representative before, and they've got to go through all the screening, and they've got to prove this and they've got to prove that, we want to make that a personable experience. So again, we'll hold their hands through that. We'll bring them in to meet some key people within Primis. We'll get them to our events early doors. So, you know, even before they signed off and joined, get them along, get them learning, invite them to webinars, get them, you know, try and support with whatever we can.
Do you get like discounts on their softwares and stuff that they have to use, or do you advise people on that, or is that, is it a bit of buying power they get from you as well in regards to the backup?
I mean, yeah, you know, every network will negotiate, won't they? So, you know, I think no one's going to share their trade secrets, but everyone will negotiate around what you know, we can do. So I would like to think, you know, with our fees that are inclusive of somebody signing up to join us, they are getting some additional benefits that they might not get if they join somewhere else. You know, it's one of those tricky questions. I'm going to be careful what I say on a recording.
I'm not trying to trip you up. If you don't have to say something, don't say it. But I mean, you obviously get, there must be monetary benefits that people have to think about fee wise, you know, whether that's software or proc or whatever it is, that benefits you from being part of a network.
Yeah, and again, just to jump in, Marcus, on that. So part of our fees, again, we own our CRM system. So it's called Toolbox, and it is literally, it does absolutely everything that the broker needs. So that's where they go and do their, you know, it's linked to 27 Tech and Mortgage Apply, so they can pull through the sourcing, get, you know, the different mortgage quotes. They can, those lenders that are on Mortgage Apply, they can submit the application through Toolbox with those lenders now. So, you know, we're always developing Toolbox, and the beauty of owning a CRM that we've got a back office team who literally can make the changes to it is, if a broker goes, I don't like this about it, can you change this, can you help this, we can stick it in a queue, and we can, because we own it and we don't have to pay anybody to do it other than the salary of the developer. So again, you know, if you're going to go DA, you've got to try and think about what system am I going to use, who's going to check my files, who's going to do this. If you join a network, as part and parcel of your fees, all these things will be inclusive, and you'll get the training and support. So our training team are absolutely fantastic, and they will ultimately sit down with you and show you how to use the CRM, put you through a course on this, that, the other, you know, try and make sure your hand is fully held throughout the whole journey.
Good. That all makes sense. Hopefully brokers, and like I said, the majority of brokers know what networks are, but it's really interesting to know the kind of, not the ins and not the full ins and outs, but at the same time that your money's not just sat there and it's going on your compliance checks. You know, there's so much more involved in it than that. And I think people have to allow for that rather than they're taking X amount out of what I'm making, because someone else is going somewhere along the line. You know, if you're going DA, you know, that kind of proposition takes so long. So it is really interesting. Out of interest, obviously the last few weeks have been more challenging than most the last few months, and I kind of talk about this with everyone. We don't want to labour on the point, you know, it's been tough. Hopefully we'll not be as tough soon, but how was that for the networks, and how was that kind of translated down to your brokers, if you like? What kind of...
Yeah, sure. Do you know what? It's been a really difficult time, hasn't it? You know, with mortgage rates being pulled with barely any notice because the lender's being put in a position, you know, with prime ministers changing every 5 seconds, it's been difficult. I feel like, and you know, I'm talking to you today at what, the start of November, I feel like we've settled down a little bit, and I feel like, you know, we've only got to look at base rates last week went up. Now, normally when base rate goes up, there's an influx of lender rates going up. That hasn't really happened. The lenders followed the swap rate, and we know so much more about swap rates now. You know, 12 months ago, I don't think we were talking about swap rates, and most people wouldn't have even had a clue what we were on about. We've had to educate.
I know we touched on that the other day, but I think there's something to be said for educating brokers on where the money goes.
Definitely.
I spoke to too many that were sort of accusing the banks of trying to rip people off when, you know, if you understand, like you said, swap rates and that kind of thing, and the capital markets, what happens to the money, I think you don't then end up shouting at your BDM about
Yeah.
You do that yourself. Do you have to educate people on that, or is it just something that...
Yeah, so again, so we do loads of events, but we did some mortgage workshops, when would they be? Probably about 6-7 weeks ago. And our whole update for the first sort of 20 minutes was around the market and the swap rates and where we're at. And, you know, I think particularly if you're a brand new mortgage broker, or even if you've been working in a bank for a long time and you've just been selling bank mortgages and you come out into the big wide intermediary world, you've probably never heard of some of this stuff before. So, yeah, we do that education piece. You know, don't want to teach people to suck eggs, because there's nothing worse than patronising somebody and telling somebody, you know, something they already know. But what we try and do, you know, I speak to all the big lenders and protection providers, and where they give me something useful that I think can be cascaded down to the network, I'll always include that in my presentations. So, yeah, you know, we have done a big education piece on why the situation is. And I also think, you know, we always look out for our brokers, we always want to protect our brokers, but there's quite a lot of pieces to a jigsaw here, and the lender is a massive piece in the jigsaw. And you know, I see some stuff on social sometimes where people are slamming the lenders about, you know, they've put the rates up without any notice. So I always try and think about, well, why did they do that? And if I can help them and I can justify it, and I certainly can in that horrible time 3-4 weeks ago, they couldn't give any notice because
they physically couldn't stop. Just they couldn't carry on lending. They couldn't do it. That's years and years of you know, potential financial ruin if you carried on lending it when you're making a loss.
Exactly. So yeah, you know, back to your original question, we do a lot of education around topical stuff. I mean, the amount of times I spoke about the cost of living crisis this year, those are words that have never come out of my mouth in the first however many years of financial services.
Yeah. But I mean, I ask everyone, I've taken up loads of your time, and I do appreciate everything you've come across. And hopefully this does resonate with brokers in regards to actually what's so involved in networks. I ask everyone the same question, but in regards to, if someone's coming out at the moment, young broker, what's the one tip you can give them coming into this market now? What would be the one bit of advice they could go away with, use today, and be better for it?
Putting me on the spot there, aren't you? Haven't even prepped me with that question, but do you know
what? No prep.
So my top tip here is, if you're brand new, CMAP is not going to let you do the job. CMAP's a piece of paper. I have as well. Okay. But you know, you walk out of that exam centre and you get a certificate and you've got CMAP, that doesn't allow you to go and do the job. You need some training and support. And my top tip really is utilize all of these BDMs who you see over social media who want to go out and they want to come to your branch, your business, and they want to spend some time with you. You might bring you some cakes as well. Absolutely, get them in. Get as be a sponge. Soak up as much info as
So,
you can.
sponge is the one thing that's coming to mind then. It's that knowledge, isn't it?
Yeah, so knowledge is power. That's another old saying, isn't it? But knowledge is power. And I think you can't know everything, right? But if you've got a client sitting in front of you and you've had six BDMs come in over the past couple of weeks, chances are you're going to remember some of that stuff they've told you. And hopefully, you know, it makes you more of an expert in your field. So I'm a massive advocate of using these people who want to come round to your business. It's free for you as a broker. And it'll give you another tick in the box for your CPD, but also it'll hopefully make you better at your job and soak up
Counts
some.
towards CPD, does it? If your BDM comes and brings you donuts.
Sometimes there's some CPD you can use if you do a presentation and you can do a reflective summary. You can. It's not ID
Not
CPD. That.
related to the donuts. That's not relevant to CPD.
Yeah, definitely, definitely.
That's good. That's brilliant advice. Just soak up the knowledge, like you say. It's hard to look at becoming an expert, which obviously builds that trust. So yeah, that's really great advice. I really appreciate your time today, Matt. That's really useful. If people want to get hold of you and talk about the kind of proposition and interested in Primus, that kind of thing, how do they get hold of you?
Perfect. Drop me an email, maths with two T's dot brown without an E at primus.co.uk.
Amazing. And then again, anyone listening on Spotify or watching on YouTube, if anyone has got any questions for Matt, you're more than welcome to get in touch with me, and I'm more than happy to pass that over to him, and he will be more than happy to answer them. So thanks very much again, Matt, for your time today, and I'll catch up with you soon.
Yeah, cheers, mate. Take care.
Cheers.
Bye bye.